We get this second hour underway, though, by welcoming to the program a terrifically talented comedian. You know him from his many Netflix specials, including Secret Time, Hey Big Boy, his Netflix series, The Cabin. Maybe you remember him from the Travel Channel's Bert the Conqueror. He is incredibly busy right now on the Tops Off World Tour that will come to the Cross Center in Bangor on February 5th. We caught up with Bert Kreischer this morning, walking the streets of London.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. I got my shirt off. I'm feeling good.
Oh, good. I'm walking through a park in London right now, so we couldn't be happier.
Yeah, you are. You're everywhere. London, Glasgow, all over the UK, back to the States to come here to Bangor in early February. You're the hardest working man in show business.
I don't know if I'm not. I think that's Kevin Hart, but I'll take the second hardest. I'll take the tallest man or hardest working man in show business.
Hey, how cool was it? We've watched the video a number of times here, seeing David Letterman talking about you with Neil Brennan.
It was overwhelming. I've had two Letterman experiences that are pretty overwhelming. He did an interview for the Comedy Store one time, and that's the first time I heard him randomly bring me up, just brought my name up, and I was blown away. I was like, I knew I had done his show, but I didn't think he knew who I was. And then I got a text from Sarah Silverman, who was like, yo, I just giving you a heads up. I was hanging out with David Letterman, and he brought you up a couple times, the shirtless thing. And I was like, really? And then I was getting ready to shoot my special. I was in Omaha at a leather store with my wife buying jackets, and I got a text from Neil Brennan saying, yo, this is what just happened on our show. And it was the voicemail from David Letterman, and it blew me away.
Well, let's go back a little bit to the beginning, or maybe even earlier. You were an English major at Florida State, right?
Yeah, I was a creative writing major at Florida State with a minor in Russian.
And, 7 years at Florida State? Bert, I got to tell you, you're a piker, man. It took me 13 to get my degree.
Why do something fast if you like it, right?
Right, exactly. I was waiting to see if they would name a building after me. When it was clear they wouldn't, I was out.
I just want to make enough money so I can go back and put a statue of myself just off campus where people rub my belly for good luck.
I think that would be fabulous. Now, am I right that it was in some ways a bad breakup that led to you getting discovered by Rolling Stone?
Well, yeah, kind of. I'm obsessed with the sliding doors in our life and how they kind of push us into a direction. But when I was in Russia, my girlfriend was sleeping with my best friend. And when I came home, I was kind of ready to like calm down and chill out and like get serious about life. I was, you know, just backpack through Europe. And then I found out this happened and I just went, you know what? I'm just going to party. I had a buddy who's like, I don't know how to tell you how to deal with emotions, but I know if you drink, they go away. And so I just started partying really hard. And then next thing you know, Rolling Stone calls our house. I would have never lived with these guys that I was living with. They're all still my close friends. And I ended up being there when they called the house, and I was taking a bong hit. And it's just kind of all those things line up. And then next thing you know, your life's changed forever. Had I stayed with that girl, I wouldn't be walking through a beautiful park in London talking to you today with a sold-out show at the Apollo tonight.
It's an amazing story. Now, I think the first time I was aware of what you were doing was on Bert the Conqueror. I love that show. Are you a daring guy by nature?
No. I think that was what made all those shows work. Bert the Conqueror, Trip Flip, Hurt Bert, was that I'm a pretty even-keeled dude who has anxiety and panic. And so every time I get put in those situations, I freak out. And so I think that's what was the entertaining part. I don't know. I never understood why I kept getting offered them, but I kept getting offered them. So, and I kept taking them because I needed the money.
And I think it was a part of Bert the Conqueror. You came here to Maine to participate in the wife-carrying competition.
Yeah, that was so much fun. We went to Maine. It was like the first time my wife got to go travel with me. You know, we had just had kids. We were broke. And then Travel Channel flew her out first class up to Maine. And then we did the wife carrying competition. We did horribly. And this, by the way, this is when my wife was at her fighting weight. We wouldn't do so well now either, but we did horribly.
We're talking with Bert Kreischer on Downtown. On Hurt Bert, one of the most memorable episodes was your run-in with the bear, which did not go the way anybody planned.
Well, I think, you know, the second I got there and the bear was sitting on a park bench and it looked like waiting for his scene, smoking a cigarette practically. I would have thought it smelled. And they're like, what are you doing? That's not how you meet a bear. And I'm like, what? And they're like, you put a marshmallow in your mouth. You show him the marshmallow. You let him take the marshmallow out of your mouth with his mouth. And that's how he learns to trust you. And I was like, trust me. I want to trust him. He's the bear. And so I took 5 marshmallows out of my mouth. Next thing you know, I'm passed out unconscious. And the rest is history.
See, I would not only be off bears after that, I would be off marshmallows.
By the way, I was almost off television after that. And then I got mauled by a bull.
Man, oh man. And then jumping out of a plane with Rachel Ray, who I was impressed to find out from you is an actual badass.
She's a gangster. She's one of the funniest people I've ever been around. I'm bummed that I don't see her as much. You know, I think at the time I was doing so much Travel Channel that I'd do her show, and then I'd be in New York, and she'd be like, oh, you should come over to the house we're having a big party. And then I remember one time she flew me down to Mexico to do a segment with her. She was such a big supporter of mine. And then, you know, when you kind of get out of that scope of that side of the entertainment business, the more the, you know, brand-friendly lifestyle brand thing. And now what I do now is do podcasts with my buddy and say horrific things. But yeah, she's awesome. I love Rach.
So I feel like I know them from the podcast and from your specials. How are Leanne and the girls?
Girls are great. Georgia is up at college now. Isla is by herself at the house. She's taking jujitsu. She's changed entirely. It's like, well, I don't even know who she is anymore. And Leanne is buying houses left and right. Leanne's goal is to be a real estate mogul.
Now, do you still have the rescue cat? Around here, we're shocked that anybody would want to rescue a cat.
Yeah, Gus. You get a street cat and try to move him into your house. It's like moving in a homeless person. They pee everywhere. Your couch is torn up. You're like, good God.
You make the same noise talking about your cat that I do about my cat, Jeffrey. Just, ugh.
Oh, yeah. Just in the mornings. I would have crazy dreams in the mornings of just, because if you hear the cat just, and then I have dreams of women complaining to me, why are you going to clean that up? Why is your bag in the middle? And then next, you know, I wake up, it's my cat going,
Now, you, if I'm right, you turned 50 back in the fall. Was that difficult for you?
It has been because, you know, I've always lived my life like a child. And I think you could always forget it. Like 40, you're like, I'm still pretty young. And then 40, in your 40s, you're like, oh, there's still a 4 in there. And then once you turn 50, you're like, well, I'm like an old man. This is when people have midlife crises. And I'm a kid. I'm sitting here in a hoodie sweatshirt with sneakers on and sweatpants. I'm still a kid. I still feel like a kid. We went out to this live sex show in London called The Box last night. And I look around and I'm like, oh, I might be the oldest guy in here. It's all kids and they're all dressed cool and dancing and partying. And then I'm sitting there just drinking vodka going, this will put me to bed tonight.
See, but I don't know that you ever have to grow up. I'm 64 and I hang around. Most of my friends are people in their mid 40s. And in some ways I'm maybe more immature than they are.
Oh, my best friend, Tom Segura, and luckily he looks 60, but he's younger than I am. But he looks old, like old. But now he's on steroids, so he looks great.
Speaking of the podcast, you've got three of them. The Burt Cast, your show with Tom, Two Bears, One Cave, your podcast with Bill Burr. Is that a different comedic muscle that you get to stretch doing those podcasts?
Yeah, I think so. I think Birdcast is more of a hang conversation and me trying to listen. With Two Bears, it's just anything goes. It's me and Tom just trying to make each other laugh, and we know each other so well that the silliest things will make us laugh and then randomly go viral. And we're both hard laughers, you know.
Well, your laugh is great. It's an infectious laugh.
Well, I love laughing, and that's why I feel like, you know, when I was a kid, you didn't see 50-year-olds laugh, you know? Like, 50-year-olds were like old men. I remember when my dad was 50, I was like, he is old. And now I look at 50, I'm like, I'm still lifting weights and working out, and, I mean, And some guy offered me cocaine last night. I had to turn it down because my cardiologist said no.
You mentioned your dad, and you've said a number of times that your dad, and I guess still today, doesn't quite get you.
No, not at all. He never has. He comes from a different world. You know, he lost his dad when he was 13, and so he's had to be the man of the house, or at least the man of his house, since he was 13, and figure things out his own way. And I think when you have a kid born into, let's just call it privilege, I wouldn't say, you know, we weren't rich or anything, but like just privilege of having a father, of having a mother, having them still married, two sisters, you know, got a car when I was 16. I think you look at that kid who gets everything he wants and go, well, that would have been nice, you know? And I think he watches my life choices, like getting stand up, and goes, who does, like he'll think, who does what they want to do for their living? He was a lawyer because that's what would make money. You know, he didn't pick an occupation he loved. But I think, the older I get, the more we're starting to get each other.
Do you think that having that upbringing you had made it easier for you to make that choice, that you felt comfortable taking a chance and doing something that on the surface didn't make a lot of sense?
Yeah, and it's tough, too, because it comes back to you because your kids do the same thing. Like, I watch my kids make decisions, and I'm like, no, what are you doing? Like it doesn't, like, I was stupid. If in hindsight, the idea to become a stand-up is one of the most irresponsible decisions you'd ever make. To give up everything and move to New York and start doing stand-up and go, this is my thing. It's just the most irresponsible decision. But I mean, I look at my kids and my daughters, just them picking colleges. I wanted Georgia to go to University of Colorado at Boulder. And she went to the school and she's like, not for me. And I was like, well, hold on. What are you looking at that I'm not looking at? Because this looks like the coolest college I've ever been to in my life. Like, what about Florida State? What about Northern Arizona? Like, let's go to Flagstaff. Like, I was sending her places I wanted to go, mostly because I wanted to go to the football games. By the way, I'm so bummed because now Dion's coach at Boulder. But
that's right. Yeah.
They make their own decisions. And then we went to the college she goes to for parents' weekend. And I'm walking around the school going, this is her. This is so her. Like, she knows herself way better. So I guess she's got to trust her stupid kids.
Isn't that one of the great challenges of parenting? Now, I'm 64. I got a 9-year-old. What the hell was I thinking? But it's such a challenge to, I think, you have an idea in your head of what you hope they'll be, and then they become what they want to become. And it's hard sometimes to step back and say, well, that's their choice and that's their life, and I support fully what they're doing.
Oh, she got a septum ring, like a nose ring in the center of her nose. And I was like, and she comes home for Christmas. I go, what the hell are you doing? And she's like, what? It looks good. And I'm like, But, you know, as her dad, I go, no one's looking at your beautiful face. They're looking at this bull ring in the center of your face now. But, you know, it's funny. And then I go out to a bar the other night, and I see a girl with the nose ring there. And I was like, wow, she's hot. And then I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, what am I doing? Like, it's my instinct. I was like, wow, that girl's really pretty. And then I'm like, oh, my God, that's my daughter's got one of those. She ended up coming up to me, and I said, was your dad upset when you got that? She was like, of course, but who listens to their dad? And I'm like, oh, my God.
Bingo. Bert Kreischer with us on Downtown. He'll be at the Cross Center on February 5th, the Tops Off World Tour. Or is it the Birdie Boy Relapse Tour? I'm getting, is it both?
It's Tops Off. We retired the Birdie Boy Relapse Tour, that problematic name that I called my tour. I didn't realize how serious people take their sobriety. But so we go Tops Off because we have a fun thing. We're in arenas, we're in bigger venues, so we do a Tops Off cam, like a Kiss cam, and dudes rip their shirt off, and it's awesome. We're trying to make everything just a little bigger on this tour, because this is the top of the mountain. This is the tour where you hang your hat and then you go, let's take a year off after this tour.
So how tough is it? Because comedy, to me, is such an intimate thing. You're in a club, you can make eye contact, you know who's laughing, who's not. How is it different when you're doing it, like, in a big stadium?
It's not, oddly enough, it crazy as it sounds, it's not that different. And I think my act matured when I went to theaters. I think I learned to get rid of a lot of the cheat codes that we use as comics, like lazy crowd work to get into a bit. And I started really focusing on the material and making sure the material was sharp. And I think then I released Secret Time, and that was like probably Secret Time, and then Hey Big Boy. And then I just did my last special, And I think I'm a storyteller. So what happens in these venues is, as crazy as it sounds, you'll have 12,000 people just like silent waiting to hear what you're about to say. And it's bizarre. I mean, I've had some of the hockey players who play one of the venues I played. They're like, I've never heard this place as quiet as it was, as you're about to tell the machine story and you're going into the bit and then the pops are great. When you rip your shirt off, the pop is huge. And when I start the machine, the pop is huge. And, you know, at the end of the thing, it's like, oh, it's gorgeous. These lights on and their cell phones. And I mean, it's magical. It really is magical.
Is there anything that feels better than that silence when you're on that stage? And you know that silence is because of you.
The best moment is when you take the silence and you spin it and you hear the explosion of laughter.
Yeah.
That moment where you trick them, where you surprise them, and they didn't see it coming and they explode, that's the moment you live for. That's the thing where you're like, wow.
The specials are great. Hey, big boy, I had tears streaming down my face. I also loved The Cabin. I thought that was fabulous. And there's such a wonderful moment in there that your dad shared with Caitlyn Jenner. That was so cool.
It was so unexpected. I talked to my dad that morning, and I said, hey, I'm hanging out with Caitlyn Jenner. And his initial reaction was, don't. Cancel the interview. You're going to say something wrong. You're going to mess it up, and everyone's going to come after you, and it'll be innocent, but you're going to look like a bad person. Don't do it. And then he started going. He goes, buddy, you don't know what a hero you're about to talk to. You do not want to offend this woman. She was a hero. And he starts going on and on, and I'm like, wow, I'm gonna take this time. If I get a chance, I'm gonna FaceTime my dad and let him talk to Caitlyn. And then my dad was really big into track and field, and so my dad all of a sudden just melted down talking to someone. I didn't realize what a connection in the 72 Olympics. I had just been born, and my dad was watching it with me on his lap. And he had given up on his dream of being in track and field, and now he was watching Caitlyn do what he would have loved to have done. And he had so many questions, and it was, you know, I got really lucky to catch lightning in a bottle and have that opportunity with my dad.
No, not that I didn't already know you're a better man than me, but ain't no way I could field dress an emu.
That was the girl's dream. And then halfway through he goes, are we going to get in trouble for this?
You've got a movie coming out in May, The Machine. I assume it's based on your time with the Russian mob.
Yeah, Memorial Day weekend. My movie, The Machine, comes out only in theaters. It's me and Mark Hamill. He plays my dad, and we get kidnapped by the Russian mafia. I think everyone's going to love it.
How amazing for a kid of the 70s to be working with Mark Hamill.
Oh, a dream come true. I mean, Mark Hamill's it's like, he's Luke Skywalker. I mean, Darth Vader's my grandfather. It's I could not have been more overwhelmed by the experience and more satisfied. I mean, he's just the sweetest guy in the world. I absolutely adore him.
Are you excited to see what the Yankees will roll out this coming season?
Yeah, I can't wait.
Listen, it could be worse. You could be up here in New England and be a Red Sox fan.
Hey, I can't wait. New England's such a beautiful area. I can't wait to get up to Maine.
Well, I know people around here can't wait to see you. February 5th at the Cross Insurance Center in Bangor, the Tops Off World Tour coming here. Bert, I love your work. Looking forward to seeing the show. Great to have you on with us today. Kick some ass in London tonight.
Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. That was a blast.